Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beautiful day you blessed us with. Now the awesome opportunity once again to get back to your word. Help us now as we continue our studies, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word hope, we'll turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A couple of verses here where Paul's addressing the church at Thessalonica. Of course, this would apply to all believers where he says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." That hope that comes to us through grace, through the grace of the finished work of Jesus Christ, through the unmerited favor, which is what grace really means, toward us, and lets us know that we can count on his promises. And what he promised us is so awesome, and it is truly by grace. All right, now turn to 1 Timothy, letter of Paul to young Timothy, a protege, studying to be pastor and evangelist and missionary. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. We put our hope in Jesus Christ. As he addresses this, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord, which is our hope. We can have confidence in Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. What they have done for us, what they are doing for us, and what they will do for us. That gives us that confidence in what we have to look forward to for eternity. So awesome. And as he said earlier, it is by grace. I now turn over to Titus, another young protege studying to be a pastor and guidance from Paul as well. In Titus chapter 2, pick it up here in verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." That grace is on display today around the world. The grace of God, and it's by the grace of God that he hasn't wiped out everything in existence, completely gone, and taken everybody to judgment. Because this world is getting darker and darker, and you kind of wonder why he's holding out judgment. As Peter explains, he's waiting for others to come before it may be everlasting too late for them. Patiently awaiting for more to come. But this grace has been granted on all mankind. And the grace of the availability of the free gift of salvation is come to all mankind. Read that again. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So that hope that comes to us is by grace, and it is in the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what we are hoping for. That is what we are looking forward to. That is what we are awaiting and sometimes impatiently, but we need to patiently await that. And on over into chapter 3 of Titus. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. See, this is going to Titus, teaching him to share this, as he said back up there in 15, these things speak and exhort. And then he goes on in chapter 3, verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Paul loves to remind us where we came from, just as he's doing Timothy here and all of us. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He came, He died for us. It wasn't because mankind became so righteous that then He gave a reward for that righteousness. No, salvation came by grace. And the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost quickens, brings us back, renews us. As it continues in verse 6, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That is our hope. That is our desire. That is our goal. That is our gift by grace. And that hope is that confidence in that we will have eternal life. That free gift coming to all of us that have reached out, received it, and applied it. First Peter, we'll turn over there. Here a letter by the Apostle Peter going out to all believers, where it reads, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, which included the resurrection from the dead, we can have more confidence that we will be able to rise from the dead and receive that glorified body He's promised us. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We have that unspeakable joyfulness when we have true hope in the Lord. As receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Talking about how the prophets, the prophecies of the Old Testament, look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ as our Savior. The reason to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Inspired by God, the prophets wrote about what would happen when Jesus Christ would come down to be our sacrifice. We get to look back and study that and see what happened. They were looking forward to what would happen. We look back at what did happen. We look back at what did happen, which builds our confidence in what he's prophesied will come true in the future. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what we are anticipating. That's what we are expecting. That's what we have confidence in, is that revelation of Jesus Christ, that time of judgment. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he that hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That fear is that acknowledgement of accountability. There is, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. There again, they witnessed it. They saw it. That really established their hope. We look back at the records. We trust that they are true and accurate, never been contradicted, never been anything that could go up against the Word of God and stand. We have that foundation. We know that the things that he has prophesied will come to be because of what he's already done for us. He's seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, that's the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That being born again, that's where we get this term, being born again, when you're a born again Christian. You're born again because you have been born the second time spiritually. We come into this world born physically, but spiritually dead. When you get saved, you become born again, you're born spiritually. So therefore, you're born again spiritually. Be dead again, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, assuring us of the dependability of the Word of God, the message of the Lord, the recorded message of the Lord, the printed message of the Lord, and Logos, the actual speaking of the Lord, and the Word Jesus Christ, which is our Savior. So we can have confidence in the Word, his messenger, which is the Holy Ghost, And of course, the prophets and the apostles and what they recorded for us, we can have confidence in that and depend on that and always turn to that for assurance of our salvation and to help establish our hope in what we have to look forward to. Building our confidence in all that. All right, here in 1 Peter chapter 3, we see some teaching concerning husbands and wives and how to behave together as well as interacting with others in the world. As it reads, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Sometimes you have a situation where you have a couple married and you have one that gets born again, the other one's not, and the born again one can live a life that will help draw the other one to the Lord. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." That beauty within is what he's talking about. "It's for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous." This extends beyond the relationship of husband and wife. This goes to our relationship with others out there as well. As he continues in verse 9, "not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." That's a tough one sometimes. You get a little upset. You like to use that weapon of the tongue, just lashing out, saying mean, hateful things. But shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." We don't have to worry about the persecutions. They will come. The fiery darts of Satan will be shot at you. The wiles of the devil that we have to go up against. The satanic individuals, those indwelt with Satan or followers of Satan, are on the increase. The Antichrist movement is growing in leaps and bounds. So we know we're going to have adversaries. We know we're going to be persecuted. We know we're going to be doing some suffering. But as the apostles have displayed and shown and recorded for us, they rejoiced being found worthy to suffer for the Lord and for righteousness. In the instructions here that we as Christians in the world need to stand out in such a way that they look at us and cannot comprehend why we are so joyful while we are at such peace, even in the midst of persecution. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means set a specific place in your hearts for the Lord. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That hope that is in us, that we display, that confidence in the Lord, that confidence in what we have to look forward to. As we say, hope is that confident anticipation and expectation of the fulfillment of the prophecies and promises of God. When we display that, it'll be like a lure drawing people in. So then we can tell them why we have such hope. Let's read that 15 again. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. That meekness and fear is a very important statement there. That meekness is power under control. That fear is the fear of accountability, because we are going to be held accountable for what we do, who we influence, how we influence others, the work that we have done, and we'll be judged by that. So that meekness and fear. And as it continues, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. When we are living the kind of God-glorifying life that we should, when we are being holy because He is holy, when we are sharing the love of Jesus Christ, when we are shining the light into the world, then they come up against us. They will hate us. They will reject what we are saying. They will say we are hateful and judgmental and condemning them when we're trying to help them and love them and guide them. They turn it around backwards. That's the tool of Satan. He does that all the time. But they'll be ashamed come judgment day for falsely accusing your good works. Read 16 again. Having a good conscience, that's we, the born again, need to have a good conscience. Whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Our good conversation, what we display, what we distribute to others, how we communicate to others, what our testimony is. And something that we can really look forward to and hope will happen and are eagerly awaiting the happening of is the new heaven and the new earth. So let's look at that before we go any further in 2 Peter in chapter 3, where Peter's teaching concerning the scoffers and the future of this planet and the new planet, the new heaven and new earth. In 2 Peter chapter 3, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. See, study the Word of God so that you know what happened and what's prophesied to happen. And remember it. Continue to study it so you'll be ready when you see the signs of the fulfillment. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That's one of the big things that they scoff about and deny, and that is the worldwide flood. Why do they deny the worldwide flood? Because that's a display of the judgment of the Lord and the power of the Lord over all of His creation, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. A couple of things to point out here. He clearly puts that the Lord is the one that's in control of this planet. He has reserved this planet. We cannot destroy this planet, even if everybody on the planet at once decided to blow up and burn and destroy everything that they possibly could. They cannot destroy the planet because the Lord's not going to allow us to destroy the planet. He has kept this planet in store. He has things in place, clean up our messes and so forth. Sure, we're supposed to be good stewards and take care of the planet, not to do anything to harm the planet, but don't worship the planet. This planet has an expiration date, and the Lord knows that. He's the one that's going to control it. Read 7 again. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Jesus Christ is outside of time, therefore He's not bound by time, and what we might think is a very long time going by to Him is nothing. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. So one of the things that they were saying was, look how long it's been since He promised He was going to come back. And He hadn't come back yet. Must have been a lie. Nope. He's holding up. He's holding out. He's waiting. Why? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He told us He was going to come back. He told us He was going to receive us up. He told us He was going to give us a glorified body. He told us there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. So why hadn't it already happened? This is why. Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. More and more people are at the point where they need to make that big decision. Trust in the Lord or deny the Lord. He's patiently awaiting for more to trust in Him before judgment falls. As He continues in talking about the final judgment on this planet. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Everything dissolved. The very elements themselves, everything that He's spoken to the physical world is going to be eliminated at the final judgment. And then we that have the hope, the anticipation and expectation of this event taking place, looking forward to this event taking place, the destruction of all the physical world. Why? As we continue. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's why we're anxiously awaiting, hoping to hurry up and it happen, the event of wiping this planet out and all of creation out, because it's going to be a new planet, a new creation, everything brand new. That's why we're looking forward to it. Wondrous future and a big, beautiful, brand new earth and new heavens. God the Father on that beautiful, brand new earth with all of His believers. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. In account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. We have all this recorded for us. We can study it. It builds our faith. It builds our trust. It builds our hope, our anticipation of the fulfillment of the promises, the prophecies that we look forward to, the new heaven and new earth. And we need to be found blameless come judgment day. How do you do that? Over in the first letter of John, chapter 1, because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Get it right, keep it right. Look forward to the fulfillment of a new heaven and a new earth. So much to hope for. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for all the many things you have recorded for us to be able to study. Help us all. We stay hungry to dig deep in there and find that, to build our faith, build our trust, and build our hope in you and your promises. Thank you all so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.